A lot of sellers, new sellers especially, who get stuck in paralysis by analysis. They're getting stuck with, well, what if it's not perfect? What if I can't find the right product? You know, as long as you're doing the right things in terms of the research and you're reasonably confident and you've got it in your gut, you know, take that risk and do it.
You're listening to the Ecom Exits Podcast with your host, Nate Ginsberg. Learn the best tips and tactics to improve profits, cash flow, and maximize your e-commerce business value on the way to a successful exit. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome back, podcast listeners. I'm joined today by Regina Peterbergsky, founder of Women on Amazon, and also a chatbot launch and ranking expert. So excited to have Regina on the show, share about her story, her expertise, and let's dive in. Regina, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Nate. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Glad you're here and we're here as well. So yeah, I think a good place to start, I mean, I know you're involved in a lot of amazing things. You have your community, you know, a big inspiring and sharing value as you do. And so, but before we get to that, let's how did you get started and into Amazon? And, you know, what was your journey at the beginning?
Sure. So 2015, I had, at that stage, I'd been 7 years in a retail business, maybe a little bit longer, 8 years or so in a retail business, and working, you know, 6-7 days a week on the shop floor. And I'm also a solo mum. So my daughter at that stage was getting to an age where she didn't want to be in after-school care and in school holiday clubs, and was getting quite distressed whenever I had to leave her. And this was becoming very distressing for me as a parent to have to leave my child in a every day and with other people in order to, you know, support us. So I was looking around for different opportunities, and I came across the Amazon opportunity. I think I actually saw it 3 times before I finally bit the bullet and was ready to look at it as a serious thing. So I bought a training program, like a lot of us do, in March 2015. So what's that, almost exactly 6 years ago, and launched my very first product in the August of that year. So, you know, just literally followed the bouncing ball. I was able to use a lot of the stuff that I already knew because I had been in business and I had been in sales and I was already used to importing, and I had already done, you know, a version of private label in my fashion business. You know, I was traveling to Europe, buying samples in Europe, taking them to Hong Kong, finding fabrics, having a private label version made in my own fabrics and importing that into Australia to sell at retail and also sell to other boutiques, so wholesale. So I sort of understood the basic business model of Amazon private label. What really clicked for me was the FBA portion, was the fact that I never actually had to physically see the products that I was making, didn't have to actually physically pack it in, you know, and ship it to customers. So when that finally clicked for me, as I said, the third time I actually saw the opportunity, it was like a revelation. So with that background and experience, I put together a product. I launched it, you know, within 6 months of doing the training. And so I launched in August. Within 3 weeks, that product, my first 1,000 test units sold out. So I was scrambling, you know, by Christmas time, I actually was onto my third order. And my first December, I did, I think, over $160,000 in sales. So it's not a bad little start. And that's when I sort of very quickly, now this was I was doing while I was still running my boutique. So it was still my side hustle, but I very quickly sort of rang a business broker and said, you know, get me out of my lease. You know, I need to be focusing on the Amazon business. And so that's what I did. And almost a year exactly from when I launched my first Amazon product, I actually literally shut the doors on my bricks and mortar store. And I've been working from my dining room table ever since.
Well, what a wonderful progression, transition. And I think especially this year, selling online versus in person.
Yes.
Yeah. So when was it that you shut down your boutique?
I closed my retail store in August 2016. So, you know, a little while ago. And, you know, that's certainly in Australia and fashion, nothing's gotten better since then. So I don't in any way regret that. And of course, you know, more importantly, you know, aside from the fact that I've been supporting myself and my family exclusively with my sales on Amazon since then, but I've also been, you know, being able to drop my daughter off at school, pick her up every day, you know, school holidays, we either travel or we hang, you know, I'm not stressed about, you know, if I don't log in for a day or two, my business keeps running. And that's, for me, has been my biggest gain. You know, as I said, aside from the money is great. And of course, you know, everybody talks about the money, but for me, it was always about the freedom and being able to spend the time with my child.
Mm, yeah. Well, that's a great why, a great motivator there. So yeah, I guess when you started selling online, was it just taking the products that you were already selling at your boutique, or did you get into new categories or?
No, it was, and that's one of the beauties when you're in business, you learn things. And so having spent such a long time in fashion retail, one of the things that I learned when I was going into online was that I was not going to go into fashion, you know, because, you know, for all the reasons that you can imagine, and especially with online, you know, people like to try things on, you know, they'll return things. Also, the other big thing with fashion is that, you know, things go out of fashion very quickly. You know, there's a, you know, maximum of 6 months of sales if you're doing true fashion, you know, but more so, you know, these days it's getting faster and faster, and it's really just a 6 week sell through. So when I was researching products, I knew that I wanted something that was not going to go out of fashion, that I would be able to sell through. Ideally, I was looking for products that people would buy over and over again, so consumable type products, you know, along with the usual things that that the training courses teach you. You know, it had to be a certain size, certain weight, and obviously I only had a certain budget that I was able to invest at the beginning. So, you know, I think I narrowed it down to two products, and one was a little bit cheaper in the end, and that's the one I went with. So glad I did, because that was the real winner for me. But again, I'll take and I'll sort of emphasize that I took what I'd already learned about business and marketing, and when I was doing my products, I didn't do a me too. You know, I found something that was selling and I improved it considerably. So when I launched mine, it was a real difference in that segment. It was, you know, it was really stood out because I was able to create, and not, you know, not just here's a book of recipes. You know, it wasn't a bullshit ebook that people downloaded. It was an actual improvement to the product. And of course, you know, it took 6 months for everybody to copy that improvement. However, you know, I was still like the very first to do it. So
yeah, I think, now more than ever, and increasingly so, is having the, you know, unique products are, I mean, especially if you're launching nowadays, of course, the foundation that you want to be building on. And so I want to chat now about getting into launching. And so I know that chatbots is kind of your launch specialty. So how did you get into that? And well, yeah, I guess first, yeah, how did you get into launching with chatbots?
I came up through a training and a philosophy through Ben Cummings, who was always around, you know, if you could buy your way to page one, you know, how much would you be willing to spend? So we were always, which with every product that I've launched, I've done more than just stick it up and on the website and hope that people will find it. I've always had a launch strategy. Now, of course, over the years, that's changed because Amazon has changed its terms of service. Things have changed. So when I first launched, you know, I was using micro influencers and giving out 99% off coupon codes, like a lot of us were, and getting them to buy. Then I started using launch services, like we all did, you know, the viral launches of this world, which, you know, all of those things worked until they didn't. I started using chatbots in my Amazon business, not for launching, but for coupon giveaways, you know, very early on in the piece. I'm not sure In fact, I know I wasn't the first, but I was certainly one of the first to use Facebook chatbots for giving away, you know, low value coupon codes. So I would just set up an ad, you know, would you like a 10% off or 20% off? And those were in the days where we put together with tape and string. So we would, you know, to get the chatbot, we would have to have Google Sheets and, you know, different integrations. It was not so easy to do. Now, these days, it's a lot easier. But we were also collecting emails, getting them on the chatbot list, sending them coupon codes, asking them for reviews. So I've been doing that for a number of years. And then, you know, when all the other launch ways started falling away, it turned out that rebates and using chatbots is just a really great way to get product in the hands of customers.
So yeah, so kind of like, I know there's a variety of different, you know, strategies or kind of approaches for doing this. And so kind of, yeah, walk us through your approach and kind of what, you know, I mean, what tools, what sequence, like, yeah, how you do it.
I use two different strategies. One is a little bit simpler than the other. So the first, the more simple one is, you know, it's a rebate strategy. So there was an ad on Facebook that says, you know, would you like to get this product for 80% or for free? Let's say for free. I tend not to like for free. I prefer to do an 80% off. However, let's say for free. Then they click yes, and it takes them through a pre-programmed sequence using Facebook Messenger, which explains the rebate. So, you know, for example, this is what's going to happen. We ask you to buy the product. This is what the product looks like. Use this keyword. Then we will rebate you once Amazon has shipped the product. So it's a step-by-step, very clear. So the customer knows in advance what's going to happen if they choose to proceed. Okay, so when we're not tricking anybody into anything, they know they've got to buy it in advance, and that we will rebate them to their PayPal after Amazon ships.
And so do you say this, is this in the actual ad that says?
No, not in the ad. In the ad, it just says, you know, if you'd like it for free, click through here. Okay. And then the chatbot explains it to them. So if they choose not to, you know, we don't say, you know, the ad doesn't say rebate. It doesn't say win an Amazon gift card. It just says get it for free.
Okay. So you have the ad, you know, free product, 80% off product. Click here. That'll take them to the ManyChat flow that explains here's how it works. Very transparent. You buy it first. We rebate you on PayPal.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's two different ways in terms of linking. So if it's a brand new product that's not showing anywhere, there's no point using a search, find, buy strategy because people are not going to. It doesn't matter how great your product is, people are not going to search 72 pages to find your product, right? So if if I'm launching a brand new product that's not ranking anywhere at all, I will send them to a super URL. And I like to use PixelFindMe to create those, but there are others as well. And I will also rotate the keywords in there. So rather than have everybody coming in through the same keyword, I might use 2, 3, or 4 different keywords. And you can use both ManyChat and PixelFindMe do have rotators. So you can do it in either or to rotate a number of different keywords for customers to land onto your page in order to buy. And then, of course, you know, the bot asks them to verify their order with the order number and also asks for their PayPal. And I do have that attached to a Google spreadsheet. So I can then just go and verify the orders and send them the PayPal. Of course, because I have their PayPal address, I now also have their email address for the next promotion. So I don't have to spend money on advertising next time. I can just email those people and say, hey, you got this product from me, you know, a couple of months ago. We're launching a new one. Would you like it?
Saves cost there.
Saves a lot of costs next time. You build it, building a list of reviewers.
So how do you determine how many giveaways, I guess, do you use some tools for that or what?
Oh, look, I use Helium 10 that will give me an estimate of how many purchases are made for whatever the keyword is. So, you know, the strategy has always been the same. If you're trying to rank on a page where everybody's selling 20 units a day, you want to have 20 units a day being sold, right? Now, using a search, find, buy strategy, you can sort of cheat it a little bit and sell a little bit fewer. So once you're already ranking on page two or three, then you can switch out the super URLs and ask your customers to search, find, buy, in which case you don't give them a link. You just say, go to Amazon, use this keyword, and this is what our product will look like in search. So again, you've got to really make it super simple and clear. So you say, this is what the keyword is going to look like in the search bar. So I actually have an image of the search bar with the keyword in it. Then, you know, this is the product, this is how it's going to look like in search. So then I show the product in the search, this is going to look like, click. So you've got to make it super, super simple because people don't want to think, they just want to click. Click, click, click. And so, you know, and it's the same process. So once they buy using the keyword, search, find, buy, then they send you the order number. And once it's shipped, you can, you know, do the rebate. So that's the reasonably simple strategy that's out there. It's certainly not unique. There's a lot of people that are doing this. You know, I teach people they can do it themselves. So that's the simple one. The slightly more sophisticated one, it's a little bit trickier and it requires a little bit more work, is an add to cart, cart recovery. So how that works is I run a spin the wheel promotion where they have a chance to win a discount. So the ad is, you know, a chance to win up to 50% off this product. Okay. And so they go through to the ManyChat flow and it's a spin the wheel. And here's where it gets interesting. So everybody wins a mystery discount. And in reality, I preload, like this is all totally white hat, okay? So I preload the flow with a rotator, which takes them to either a 20%, 30%, 40%, or a 50% discount code. So those are real. There's nothing, nobody's being scammed here, okay? I have to, you know, clarify that. They do get a mystery discount. And the explanation is you've won a mystery discount. In order to find out what the discount is, you have to put the product in your cart and put the discount code in. And then Amazon will tell you what the discount code is. There's no obligation for you to buy until you know the discount is. Okay. So it's all totally upfront. And then the customer puts their code in and then they can choose whether to purchase or not. If they get a low value discount code, in most cases, they'll choose not to buy. Right. So there's your add to cart. So you can run a lot of those. And as we know, add to cart is a very strong ranking strategy because Amazon bets on itself because they, you know, if somebody has put a product in their cart, Amazon themselves will start bombarding them with emails, right? So that's why Amazon likes an add to cart, whether somebody buys something or not.
So is the benefit of doing that, I can think of a couple of things. I mean, one, I guess you get lower priced discounts or lower priced, you know, some conversions with a smaller discount percentage or proportion, and you still can get some of these, you know, strong positive signals of the add to cart. And even if they don't buy, then that's still positive and they could still come back and you're kind of putting the ball in Amazon's court and let them, you know, do their marketing machine. Is that right? Are there others?
Well, yes, but there's also part B to this. So that's part A. So part A is you've got some people have bought using a 20, 30, 40, 50% discount code. And of course, within ManyChat, you can change the percentage of how many people get each of those codes. So you can say, I want 80% of the people to get a 20% code and 5% to get the 50% code and 10%, you know, so you can actually sway that. Okay, in the rotator. But then 4 hours later, the flow then sends another message saying, hey, Nate, I see you got a discount code from us 4 hours ago. Did you have a chance to use it? Okay. And if they say yes, you go, awesome. Thanks. I hope you love the product. You know, look forward to hearing from you once you've received it. You know, words, you know, so really nice. Okay. If they say no, then you continue the conversation along the lines of, hey, I'm sorry. Was it because your discount was not as high as you would have liked? And again, they'll generally say yes. And if they say yes, then you say, well, how would you like a guaranteed 80% off? And then take them through the rebate flow. So it's a double whammy. So they've gone from an add to cart to a cart abandonment to a cart recovery. That's your even stronger signals. Yeah.
And I bet also there's, you can probably get people to ultimately use a discount that is going to be, you know, less. So say 80% instead of 90 or 100, because they're anchored, if they got a, 10% discount or something.
Right. Then 80% is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I know how powerful anchoring is in like everything. And so that's clever.
Yeah. So if they get a 10% and you offer them 70%, so they're absolutely thrilled, right? So that's the one that I love using that. Again, it takes a little bit more finessing, because when you're then doing the rebates, you actually have to check every single one, because what happens is if they already have a discount code in their cart, Amazon will apply it. And so when you're going to do the rebates, you've just got to make sure that you do your calculation. So it's a little bit more finangly. But it works. It's again, everything is totally above board. Nobody's getting scammed here. Everybody's getting, what we promised them. If they choose to buy it, they can. If they choose not to, that's their choice. We're offering valid discount codes and valid rebates.
Well, so other questions. How do you do the wheel chance? Is that like a function in ManyChat, or just like a random generator, or is there a...
So ManyChat has got a rotator, or that's called a randomizer. So I just put like an image of a GIF of a spinning wheel, and then with ManyChat, like the flow, then there's a randomizer. I think you can have up to 5 different outcomes within ManyChat. And so that'll send them through to 4 or 5 different flows, however many you set up. You can have it all going to 1 at 10%, right? However, if you do that, you've got to be careful, because people will put responses on your Facebook ad. And if everybody gets a 10%, then you start getting, negative feedback on your ad. Whereas if you have some people that get do win a higher value, then you get some of those responses, then you have the feedback from the customer saying, hey, no, well, I got a 50% one. So you can't really, if you're going to be doing this strategy, you want to think from the customer's point of view as well and say, hey, they've got to know that there is an opportunity for them to get a higher discount code.
Right. Awesome. And so, yeah, that's a slick. Thank you for sharing. So I know that this is, I know a lot of your time, effort, energy now is spent, more helping, supporting, inspiring, coaching. Kind of tell me, so how did you shift then from, or how and when from, seller yourself to now the founder of Women, plural, on Amazon?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. It was about almost 2 years ago now, and I was going to lots of events, back in the days when we could travel. I was going to lots of Amazon events, and I was listening to lots of podcasts, and I thought I'd like to start a podcast myself. And what I saw in our space was that just about every single Amazon centric podcast was hosted by a male. And when I was going to Amazon centric events and e-com events, up to 30 to 40% of the audience was women, and yet 85 to 90% of the people on stages were men. And so when I was starting my podcast, I thought, well, what's going to be my point of difference? And so I decided to start the Women on Amazon podcast, because also I personally knew and do know lots of women who are doing really, really well in the space, and yet their voices are not heard. They're not given a microphone. They're not speaking on stages. Although, of course, that's changed in the intervening years, which has been amazing. There's a lot more female-centric events and podcasts, which is great. But that's how and why I started. So I started a little podcast basically to chat to my women friends in the space with a view, there's the old saying that, if you can't see it, you can't emulate it. So the idea is to amplify women's voices in the space, so that other women are inspired to change their lives in some way, whether it's as a side hustle, whether it's to get a little bit of extra money to help with school fees, or if it's to start a full-on business. Because not everybody wants to completely change their life and start a full-on business, right? Some people just want to make an extra couple of hundred bucks a month to help with the bills. And that's perfectly valid. So yes, yeah, so that's what I do now. Is I as you know, I'm still running my Amazon brands, and I sell in US, UK, and Australia. So I'm still running, you know, three brands, but I'm also running my podcast, which is the Women on Amazon podcast. I have a Facebook group, and I also tend to hang out on Clubhouse a little bit these days as well.
Right. So how much of your, time, effort, energy goes into your own running your own business versus the, you know, helping and supporting others?
Look, it's probably about 50-50 at the moment, to be honest. I actually really enjoy helping others now. I do some private coaching, and I get really excited about working with my, I don't like to use the word clients, but I guess they are, like people that I help. I get really inspired by seeing them and their products doing some awesome stuff. So, I really enjoy that because my brands, you know, I am launching a new product this month in the UK. But aside from that, it's the first new product I've launched in a couple of years. So my brands have been tick-tocking along. So now I'm getting excited about other people's brands. So yeah, about 50-50.
Yeah, well, I think, I know for me personally, and I think, I mean, you mentioned this as well, that it's a different kind of fulfillment when you're helping others and seeing them have success. And I know for me personally, I mean, that's maybe the biggest driver for me now these days is, and I mean, I've been very intentional around, you know, creating my businesses that are serving, supporting others that I, you know, that it's, I like it. It makes me happy. And so cool that, and then also something you mentioned, around this word client. And I like, I don't know if you follow, are familiar with Jay Abraham. Do you follow any of his stuff?
Vaguely.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, you know, like a legendary marketing consultant and, you know, has a lot of amazing content. And I've you know, read his books. I'm a fan. And the way that he explains like the client relationship, I really like it, and how he talks about it as like the client relationship. And I think it's like some definition. It's like it's like a fiduciary for this person. And so it's like when someone is your client, it becomes you are responsible for just aiding, supporting, assisting, serving them. And I like that, because I also used to feel weird kind of about, I don't know, some of the words, they have different kind of connotation or baggage even with them. And yeah, I like the way that Jay talks about it. And it's really like...
Right, nice. So he's reframed it in sort of like the legal definition of client.
Okay. Yeah. And then just saying that, like, all right, like if somebody is your client, then you are responsible for serving, supporting them. And like...
Nice. I like that. Thank you.
Maybe worth checking out some of Jay's stuff. But yeah, so I know you have your brand, you have the women on Amazon. And so what's the future look like, you know, fast forward 1, 2, 3 years?
Oh, who knows? Well, everything that I was doing was supposed to come to an end at the end of this year, actually. But it's all been extended by a year because my ultimate goal has always been to take a year out when my daughter finishes primary school, which is actually this year, at the end of this year. So we were going to be taking 2022 to backpack around the world. However, last year threw a bit of a spanner in the works, so that's been put back by a year. So the plan is still for 2023 for us to take a year out. And when I say a year out, that doesn't mean I want to be on my laptop, you know, every day and wherever we are. So I actually want to, you know, completely disconnect, or maybe just check things once a week or once a month. So whether that will involve selling my brands or getting somebody else to run them and to have everything else on autopilot, I'm not quite sure how it's going to look like yet. I'm writing a book at the moment. So, you know, and I've been saying that for the last 3 years, but this time... So that book is sort of has changed what it looks like, but I've now sort of committed to by the end or by the middle of April, which is my birthday, before my next birthday, is the book will be done. So that's my commitment to you and to me, Nate. I think if you say it publicly, it's more likely to come to fruition. So I'm saying it publicly.
So what's tell us about the book?
Well, the book is going to be around a topic that this year I've been chatting about quite a lot. In fact, my presentation at the Branded by Women Summit, which is on right now, was around the different ways that people can make money on Amazon. I mean, I've been very focused on private label, as a lot of people in the space have. However, it's not the only way. And in fact, you know, there's at least seven different ways that I know and people I know that are using Amazon as a vehicle to make money. And, you know, private label does require a lot more education and a lot more initial funds. But there are other ways that you can make money using Amazon with very little to no financial investment. So that's what I'm investigating and researching and writing about, is different ways. So that even if you don't have $10,000 to invest in your own private label product, you can still start by harnessing, you know, the world's biggest online retailer. And why not?
My experience has always been private label. And I mean, some of the other ones, like, and now with Sellerplex, my company, we work with, you know, some other like wholesalers, or, you know, they're selling other people's brands. Some of our actually bigger clients. And I know retail arbitrage is another model. Like, yeah, what are some of the other ways that...
The biggest one, of course, is private label. The next biggest one is wholesale, you know, and that is becoming bigger and bigger. Then there's retail and online arbitrage. There's Kindle publishing. There's merch. Then there's drop shipping. And by drop shipping, I don't mean, you know, there's black hat drop shipping and then there's white hat drop shipping. So the black hat drop shipping is where you're listing on Amazon things that you buy on Walmart and have Walmart shipped. Okay, so Amazon does not like that. Okay, so that's not what I would recommend. But there is drop shipping where you have arrangements with companies that will ship on your behalf products that you don't own until you sell them. Or you can do a hybrid of merch and dropshipping, where there are third-party platforms where you can create products that are print-on-demand, which you can sell on Amazon. So that's a dropshipping merch sort of hybrid. So where are we up to now? Is that five or six? I've forgotten. so there's that. Then there's another one that I've met a lady on Clubhouse who I'm interviewing for my podcast shortly, which is handmade, which is sort of, you know, Amazon has got a new section, which is handmade, which is they're trying to knock Etsy off their platform. So there's definitely different ways that you can use Amazon that I certainly didn't know about. Like when I started, I saw a trading course. It was like private label FBA. That's it. And that's all I knew. But so that's what my book is about. There's different ways, different resources, different skills, because all of those different ways require different skill sets. And some people have a personality that will more suited, perhaps, you know, perhaps they're more creative. They might want to do merch, or perhaps they like to write, in which case, you know, Kindle would be right for them.
Right.
And there's money made in all of them. You know, you just take the shovel and start digging for that gold, right?
Yeah. I've been listening to recently this book called Something in Wander. It's like the writings of Jeff Bezos. Check to see what it's called, like Wander and something. It's they're just pulling Jeff's shareholder letters from in Invent and Wander, the collected writings of Jeff Bezos. And it's cool. I mean, it's fascinating to listen to, but it's cool to hear him mention, you know, he talks about, you know, when they launch merch by Amazon and, you know, KDP publishing and like all these different, and you know, talking about the success that people are having, you know, leveraging the Amazon platform. And it's easy to kind of get, I mean, when you're doing private label and you're kind of in that world, it's easy to think that that's the only...
Exactly. And then so that's what I'm working on. In fact, funnily enough, I've been moving house, and I unpacked some bookshelves the other day, and I pulled out a book that has an old Amazon bookmark from when I was living in Egypt almost 20 years ago now. Goodness me. And the only way I could get books was through Amazon UK. And so there's an old bookmark, and it basically says, you know, so it's books, CDs, you know, all the things that you could buy on Amazon at the time. There was absolutely no products other than books and CDs. And I thought, oh, this bookmark is possibly a collector's item. I must take a photo and I'll post it. But just a reminder of how far Amazon has come in that time. But I remember I was living in, you know, Upper Egypt, you know, not even Cairo, and I would order books from Amazon and they would arrive pretty quickly. You know, back in the day, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing and cool that you lived in Cairo and abroad. I mean, as I'm also been currently living abroad, am living abroad. And what about the future of women on Amazon? Like, tell me a little bit more. What's the community look like, and what's some of the exciting things that you're doing there?
The community is basically a Facebook group. We're growing. We also have a club on Clubhouse. There is a Women on Amazon club on Clubhouse, and we host a meetup there. And again, the idea is to elevate women in the space. It's funny, I actually interviewed a woman from our community for the podcast, which will be live shortly, and she was saying has been listening to the podcast since the very first episode, which, as I said, is almost 2 years ago. And in that time, she has built her brand for $1 million exit. And I'd like to tell more stories like that. Now, I don't take any credit for her for what she's done. It's just, you know, she's been doing a lot of things. And one of the things she was doing was listening to the podcast. So so I'd like to have a lot more of that. But yeah, the community is there to, you know, support each other. It's not exclusive, you know, it's women on Amazon, but we're certainly not an exclusive. We don't kick the men out. They're welcome. It's just that if I'm doing interviews, I will prefer to interview the woman of a company, if there is one. Just as I said, because if you can see it or hear it, you're more likely to emulate it.
Sure. Well, amazing. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing about the your chatbot launch strategy tactics, as well as, cool to hear about the woman of Amazon or women of Amazon and your book and different ways to sell on Amazon. And I know for listeners out there, I understand you have a course on chatbot marketing or chatbot launch and rank, if you can share.
Do I have, I wanted to call it Chatbots for Dummies, but of course I can't use that for copyright reasons. So I've basically dumbed down, the strategies that I was telling you about. I've dumped it down into a really, cheap and cheerful course that people can do. They can copy my flows into their account, plug in their product images and keywords, and they're good to go. It's less than an hour's worth of training because we're all so busy, right? We don't have time to figure it all out. So I actually created it for busy people who don't have time to learn everything from scratch. So yes, I've got a program that they can purchase and use and have their own chatbot up and running in a couple of hours. If that's what they want to do. Yep.
Yeah. And what other ways can people work with you if they're interested in more of your personal help?
So they can send me a message, funnily enough, on Facebook Messenger is probably the quickest way for me to respond. Or they can email me. I'm just Regina@womenonamazon.com. I do some private coaching. So just reach out to me through any of, social media. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, they can find me on Clubhouse, hit me up there. I'm happy to help in whichever way I can. And the other thing is, like you, Nate, I'm pretty well connected. So if I don't know how to help somebody, I'm very happy to recommend somebody in the community who can help them.
All right. Well, wonderful, Regina. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And Any parting words, last bit of advice for the e-commerce FBA seller listeners out there?
Yeah, look, just do it. to borrow somebody else's catch cry. What I see at the moment is a lot of sellers, new sellers especially, who get stuck in paralysis by analysis. They're getting stuck with, well, what if it's not perfect? What if I can't find I can't find the right product? As long as you're doing the right things in terms of the research and you're reasonably confident and you've got it in your gut, take that risk and do it. If you're first product fails, then hey, you've learned. We all have had failed products, and you probably learn more from a failed product than you do from a successful one. So my advice would be, just get out there and do it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing, and hope we can meet up in Cairo, in Australia, in somewhere one of these days. Catch you, we'll cross paths on the eventual your family world tour. which hopefully happens sooner rather than later. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. There's been lots of fun, Nate. Thank you. And yes, 2023, we'll be backpacking around the world, my daughter and I.
There we go.
This has been the Ecom Exits Podcast with Nate Ginsberg. If you're enjoying the Ecom Exits Podcast, show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. This will help other smart entrepreneurs find us. We appreciate your support. We have a new episode every week on the Ecom Exits Podcast, so catch you next time.